But tonight I got to study on this, and I want to preach on the path to the pig pen. And I want to give you 7 steps. I'll never give an outline number hardly ever, but I want to give you 7 steps to get you to the pig pen. And I don't know about you, but I was raised in the country, and you could one way, well, you could always find your way to the pig pen. You can smell it. Amen. But there's a path to the pig pen. There's always, you walk down a little path down to the pig pen. And I got studying on this thing and looking at this thing and looking at how it is. And in his life, there are 7 steps that this man took that got him to the pig pen. And here's what I believe tonight. I believe if we're looking in our own lives, we could see those steps ahead of time and turn around and get going the other way. Amen. Let me say this. You don't have to wallow in the pig pen to figure out you're heading in the wrong direction.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that anybody here is in the pig pen tonight. I hope you're not. But I'm saying this, a lot of times we can figure out all of a sudden down the road we are headed towards the pig pen. And it's a lot better to find out. And let me tell you something. You say, well, preacher, what's so bad about the pig pen? Well, my dad used to raise feeder pigs, and I know a little bit about them. And I can tell you, there's a lot of things I can't tell you about, but I can tell you about pigs. And pigs are stubborn, pigs are smart, and pigs are pigs. Amen. They're a bunch of pigs, and they stink. And if you ever get the smell on you, it's one of the hardest smells to get off of you ever seen. Now, I used to raise, I know what I'm saying. You get that smell on you, go to the house, wash your hands, didn't matter. You could not get that smell. It has a, you have to wear it off. And there's things in this world that you can get on you that don't come off so good. It just takes some time. You have to let the Lord wear it off of you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But here's the good news. He can do that. Amen. He can bring you back and clean you up and take time to clean you up. It just takes time. But here's what I'm here tonight. I'm not going to preach on that aspect of it. I want to preach on the 7 steps or the path to the pig pen. I want you to look at it. It's real fundamental, real easy to understand tonight. Just look at these verses, verse number 12 through verse number 17. Number one, we see the first step. What is the first step? Well, let's look at verse number 12. The Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, notice his immaturity. He was immature in two ways. He's immature in his thoughts, and he's immature in his actions. See, I want to say this. Everything you get ready to say, whether you thought about it much or not, you thought about it before you said it. As much as I'd like to say, we like to say, well, my mouth said something before I thought about it. No, that's not true. Your thoughts have to get your mouth moving. It is an involved, it just don't talk. I don't wake up at night, my mouth's going on, why this? My mouth is directed by how I'm thinking. Now, I may wish everybody didn't think that I thought that way. That's what we're really saying. I spoke before I thought. No, you thought it. You just didn't get right before you spoke it. Amen. Say amen right there. You thought it. If you hang around the wrong people and they say wrong things and you get talking like them, it'll come out in church. I've seen people say things they didn't mean to say in church, but they said it. You know what I know? I know they're thinking about it other places. Amen. He thought about it. It was an immature thought he thought. He was a young man. The younger of them said to his father, he thought it and then he spoke it. Immaturity. Number two, immodest. Notice the immodesty that he came to his father. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, notice there's 3 things about when he said this immodest words. Now, immodest words means not thinking about what the effect would be, not realizing how vulgar this was. This was a vulgar thing for him to say to his father. Let me show you what I mean by that. Number one, he says, give me. He insisted, Father, give me. He insisted, Father, give me. That's an insist. He was literally demanding of his father what he wanted. Amen? The second thing is his interest. Father, give me a blessing? No. Father, give me instruction? No. Father, give me the portion of goods. Notice his interest. Thirdly, notice the inevitable. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And Brother Ty, he was going to get that anyway. But because of his immodest thoughts and his disrespect to his father, he began to speak out and demand of his father and insist of his father and that what he was interested in, what he was going to get anyway, but he demanded it to have it right now.
Amen.
I see a lot of people sometimes say things and really they're saying vulgar things. They're talk out of way. They say things, and I think, you shouldn't have put it that way. You shouldn't have put it that way. What you do is you start talking about, you speak, and you start showing who you are. And some people say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, that's why Jesus come. Because he knew the way I am and what I need to be. Right. Amen. Amen. And he needs to change the I ams. Amen. Amen. Say amen now. It's all right now. Now, so see this fact here, the modest in his ways, and then impartial, the Bible says, and he divided unto them his living. Now notice the older one didn't ask for it, but he went in and divided both of them. Right? So what his actions affected both of them. Notice verse number 13. And not many days after, there's the impatience. Now notice that. Immaturity, immodesty, and impatience. You say, preacher, what is the first step towards a pig pen? Self-will. Self-will is always the first step to the pig pen. Amen. And in the book of James, he said, many will say, you know, I will go into this city and I'll do this and I'll do that. He said, you ought to pray if the Lord will. Right. Amen. I'll go in there and do such and such and this and that, you know. What is the first step towards a pig pen? The first step towards a pig pen is that self-will step. Here's what I will to be. And it shows immaturity, and it shows immodesty, and it shows also impatience. But you know, it also shows impersonalness. I've read this chapter, I've read it, I've looked at it, you've heard it preached on, and there is no time that the Father gives him what he asks for, that he turns around the Father and says two simple little words. Thank you. At no time does he thank the Father for everything that was the Father's and gave to him. A self-will will get in that way. It's all about what I want, and it's all about the direction I want to go in. And it's the things that are good for me that I think are good for me. And so I'm telling you, do this because my self-will is telling you this is the way we ought to go. The first step to the pig pen is self-will. What's the second step? Look at verse 13. The younger son gathered all together. The younger son gathered all together. Now, I noticed that there, that word gather means, and it has two meanings. I'm going to give you the first one because it's actually used twice in this passage. The same word is used, but there's two little bit significant meanings in them. And it's translated two different ways in the scripture. Two different words are used to transcribe the word. The first word is that the younger son gathered. That word gathered has the meaning of collecting things. Collecting things. He's collecting things. He's got a collection, his collection, if you will. I looked over about giving, and the Bible talks a lot about giving. Now, people don't like about giving, but I believe in giving. I believe there's several things about giving. Number one, there's a principle of giving. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, "Given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with it, shall it be measured to you again." I believe that is the principle of giving. I believe we give, and God takes care. God supplies the need when we give. The second thing is, it's not only the principle of giving, but the peace of giving. In Luke chapter number 6, verse 30, "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that asketh, him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." There is a peace about giving. When a person gives in the right way, they give not expecting. See, there's a principle of giving. You give, and it'll be given to you. But there's a peace about giving is, you give not worried about it coming back. You just have a peace about it. And I've seen a lot of people never get to that point about peace because they're always trying to figure out, what am I going to get out of it? What am I going to get out of it? What am I going to give out of it? If you'll get over trying to get out of it and just give it, don't worry about it. The principle will kick in and you'll have peace about it at the same time. But you've got to have peace about it in order to learn the principle. Amen. Yeah. Some of y'all I'm killing. I ain't losing you tonight. I ain't going to lose this now because I'm telling you this is important. So there's the peace of giving. And then there's the precept of giving. You say, I thought the precept and principle was the same. No, there's a little difference here. The principle says, here's what happened. The peace says, do it anyway. The precept is this. Acts 20:35 says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The precept of giving said it's a blessing to give. Now think about that. There's a principle, give. If you give, it'll be taken care of. There's a piece about giving. Give, don't expect. And there's a precept about giving, and that is this. It is better to give than it is to receive. So what does that mean? It means if I'm giving and I'm getting, I'll be giving again. Because it's better to give than it is to receive. Amen. It's like pitching. We used to play ball in the yard. I used to love the pitch. I didn't like baseball, but I loved the pitch. You know, we play pitch and catch. We'd sit out in the yard and take a look, and throw it back and just whoop, and take it, and I didn't catch it. And just, you know, and somebody throw you some heat, and you know the first thing you do? You know what I'm saying, heat, don't you? Like a pow! Right now, throw that thing back at him, amen. And he's throwing them knuckleballs, mess his head up, like that. Well, see, with God, it's different. You throw a little thing in, and God throws a big blessing back. And you take that blessing, and you throw it back to God, and God throws a bigger blessing back. And you take that thing and throw it back to God. And hey, the Bible said they had heave offerings. They throw it up to God. They throw it up to God. Some of us throw it up to God and say, God, whatever you keep, you get. Amen. Hey, there's a precept to giving. And there's a piety. There's a holiness about giving. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:7, therefore as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. You know what grace is talking about? He's saying you abound in a lot of things. You abound in faith. You abound in utterance and knowledge and wisdom and all those things. He says, but you need to abound in the grace of giving also. Man, I've seen some people stand up and want to divulge the Word of God. And they're knowledgeable. But as dead as corn shucks because they're not blessed with the grace of giving. I never have understood. You know, I'm going to be honest. I'm not even preaching on tithe. I didn't mean to get on this tonight. But I believe if you tithe, you're a God robber. And I believe God kills everything you say. And you can get up and say, boy, I'll tell you one thing, I got something spiritual. And it goes, and you can get up and make yourself feel all good, but it's dead as corn shucks. If you learn to give and take care and give and give your tithe and take care, listen, God will bless that. I've seen somebody like that, and God will take somebody who can't sing a tune in a bucket, but they'll get up with God on them. I didn't preach on tithe tonight. I'm just telling you, that's the precept, that's the principle, that's the piety of giving. But this man, he gathered, he collected to himself. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. Boy, y'all ain't going to never want a Jubilee. I'm waiting for Jubilee now, preacher. Amen. So we gather to ourselves. He gathered to himself. And then the Bible says, how did he gather? He gathered all. That means he didn't leave anything back. He didn't share anything. He didn't leave anything around. He didn't leave a little present there for Dad to say, Dad, I appreciate you raising me all these years and taking care of me. And I just want to leave a little present back. And no, the Bible says, and he gathered together all. The third thing, notice the word here. He says, the youngest son gathered together all together. And if this word is used twice. That gathering in the first part, the word gather, and then the word to gather, is the same word in the Hebrew, but it has two meanings to it. And the Hebrew words are awesome. I mean, and Greek, they're awesome. And there's so much, you know, it's amazing. We think we're so smart. The English language is so, the Hebrew language is a beautiful language. The second word there, together there, is translated together, that we might understand it better in English. And that's the reason it's there. It is the Word of God. But the word together, the same word, it has the meaning of company. Now here's what it says. And the younger son gathered all together. He collected completely his company. I'm going to take everything I have, and that's what I'm going to take with me. That's going to be my company for this trip. All these things. You know what is sad when your only company in life is things? There's a lot of people, their whole life is built about things. and the things I do have or the things I don't have. And their whole life is about things, collecting things and having things and storing things and doing things and what things I can get, the things you have, and I want a thing like you, that thing you got. That's what he did. His words used twice. He collected his company. He collected his things. And he collected all of them. The second step tonight towards a pig pen is not only self-will. That's the first step. The second step is selfishness. You say, preacher, I want to know if I'm heading towards a pig pen. One of the best ways you can find out are if you're selfish. If life is everything about you and what you can get. And some people said, somebody put a bumper sticker, said, he that dies with the most toys wins. No, he that dies with the most toys dies.
Right. Amen. Amen.
It ain't about the things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Amen.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? Because he's full of things.
Amen.
When you're full of love for things, you can't got room for God. Our hearts are small, our minds are small, and we can only focus on so many things. We only got so much compartment room. You fill it up with things you don't need, you get those things in there, then God's got no room because you got it packed in. Say amen right there.
Amen.
And it becomes your company. The Bible says, the younger son gathered all together. Just took a step of selfishness. Number three, I've got to hurry on. Look at verse 13. And he took his journey into a far country. The word there means he was absent from his fellow folks. He went absent. Notice what it said. He took his journey. Whose journey was it? His journey. See, not only is he selfish, but he's absorbed. It's all about who? Self. He's absorbed in his journey. He's not worried about who he's leaving behind. It's who's going and all. Me and all my things are packed up and we're headed out. Amen. And we're going for our journey. And we're going to go into a far country. Now that's really, I wrote down three words. Absent, absorbed, observed. absurd. And there's two things that are very absurd about him taking that trip. Three things. Number one, there was no purpose in it. Number two, there was no plan in it. And number three, there's no prayer in it. No purpose, no plan, and no prayer. And you can be rest assured, when you got no plan and no purpose and no prayer, you're headed towards the pig pen.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what is the third step? The third step is seclusion. When you begin to draw away from everybody else, you're headed towards the pig pen. I preached a message on the one time about to the men about the danger of the cave. Men are this way, Brother Freddy. You know what we like to do? We like to draw back into ourselves and not share. When we have problems, we do this. Women are not that way. They want to talk about it. Men are not made that way. God made us different. And he made us that way because we are made to fight. And we are made to labor. And God has built us that way so that we wouldn't pout when we're out plowing. God has made us that way. But sometimes when we're not spirit controlled, we draw back into ourselves and we are not come in contact. And now listen, that's a fact. But I want to say this. Anybody, not just men, but anybody that heads out and you're being secluded and to yourself and you're going, I'm not going to share these things and I'm going to go to a far country and I'm heading off, this is about me and I can handle it. You are headed towards the pig pen. Well, preacher, that's just the way that I handle things. I understand that. And I believe me, I, of all people, understand that. But if I don't take somebody and say, listen, I need some help and pray, I pull into a cave.
Amen. Yeah.
And you don't do nothing good in a cave. Read your Bible. There ain't nothing good happens in a cave. Are y'all still with me? We having a spiritual moment? All right. Now, I'm telling you, now watch this. Self-will, selfishness, seclusion. Can I give you more? Look at verse 13. And took his journey into a far country, and there, and I'm going to cover it a little bit, and there, and I never saw this before, that stood out, just, and there, not here, not somewhere, and there. There's something real important about that, Brother Ty. Why there? And I got to think about what the Bible says about things that people do there. Now, this has not got the word there all in it, but here's what happens about there. There has no gazing eye. Job 24:15, the eye also of the adulterer waited for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguise his face. People like to do things in places where it's there, it's not here. Amen. They want to do it where there's no gazing eye. There's no gazing eye. I like it over there. Because there's nobody watching over me. Nobody's watching me there. Number two, there is no guiding hand there. The Bible says over in Luke 6:39, and he spake a parable to them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? People like to go there because there is a place nobody's holding them by the hand and leading them. And when he got there, nobody's going to be holding his hand and guiding him where he's supposed to go. People like to be there where there's no guide. People like to be there where there's no gaze. People like to be there where there is no graceful way. The Bible says over in Isaiah 59:6, listen now. Their webs shall not become a garments. Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever go therein shall not know peace. It says there is no good there. And anybody that goes there is going to be in trouble there. I need to preach a message on there. Because there is not here. I know that's real profound, but let me be very clear with that. There is not here. You know, a lot of people like to do certain things. I'm going to say this. There's a lot of adults like to be around certain people so the gays ain't around. They like to be around certain people because they're the guiding hand. The preacher's not there trying to tell me. My wife's not telling me what to do today. My husband doesn't tell me what to do there. Some teenager, my parents can't tell me what to do there. Because there's not here. Right? The problem is when you're there, you're trying to do something that you'd never do here. That's why you wait till you get there to do that instead of doing it here. Because if you did it here, you know somebody's looking. If you did it here, you know somebody's guiding. If you did it here, you know that's not the gracious way. I want to hang around somebody that lives holy. If that person's not living holy and I go hang around them, that stuff's going to get on me. Oh, it won't get on me. It gets on everybody else that's ever been born. Said it gets on everybody else. Hey, David was a man after God's own heart, and he was not where he was supposed to be. He was there on the rooftop, and he fell.
Amen. Amen.
And if David could fall, we all fall. Say amen right there. If David could fall, he's a man after God's own heart. He was God's friend. He was with God. God loved David. God had him anointed special. But David fell because he was not where he was supposed to be. He was there. And there is no gazing eye. There is no guiding hand. There is no graceful way. And there has no guard at the door. Isaiah 56:10 says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. I want to be there because there's no guards at the door there. You know why people leave a good church and go to a liberal church? Because there's no guards there. There's no guards there. I love our teenagers. I love them coming to our house, but I can tell you right now, when they come over to the house, there's more guards at our house than they care to think about. I tell them, if I hear a squeaky squeak, I'm on you. Because you guard your house. How dare I let some come over my house and not guard? Amen. Some people like to hang out certain places because there ain't no guard there. I ain't stupid. I didn't fall off the pumpkin patch. I was the pumpkin wagon last week. I've been around this thing. I know what's going on. I'm not silly. You know why people like to hang out in certain places? Because they can get away with things they think. Because it's not here. It's there. Amen. Step four. Self-will, selfishness, seclusion. Number four, secrecy. I won't be there. Because there is not here. Amen? And there wasted his substance with riotous living. What is that? That's sensuality. Sensuality. Giving into the flesh. Three things he does, he wasted. That word wasted is made up of two words, and it's overwhelming. The first part of that word, first part of that word means through the act of taking or being liberal or scattering. So he wastes it by letting somebody take it or being liberal with it or scattering it, leaving it around. Just letting it be around. But Brother Tony, the other part of that word means constant and occasional. And it stumped me until I realized what it was saying. It says this. When it says he wasted, it means what he had that's wasted. Here's the way it got wasted. It got wasted by being scattered occasionally and constantly. It got wasted by being scattered liberally, occasionally, and constantly. See, it's not that anybody takes off running and jumps into the pig pen. Nobody does that. They just occasionally and continually waste. Amen. Amen. They waste time. They waste youth. They waste their life. They waste their expenses. They waste their energy. They waste a lot of things. And it doesn't all happen at one time. It's just occasionally and constantly. That's a weird putting together there. But it just means, it's like a water drip. That water drip is constant, but it only drops occasionally. But gallons are lost. There may be a little season in between the drops, but it's coming again. And there's a lot of people live their whole lives like that. They lose him because I got right, I'm wrong again. And the problem is they never really got right. They're just trying to catch between the drips. He wasted. What did he waste? He wasted his substance. The word substance also means goods. He wasted what he had that was good. His goods. We say that's somebody's goods. That's somebody's substance. That's their goods. He wasted what he had good. And the Bible says through riotous, and it means unsaving or excessive, just blowing it, just not caring, living for the moment, crazy living. I'm going to do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me about doing it. It'll all work out in the end, though. Let me be very clear. You do not know how it's going to work out. There are many people that got in the pig pen that never got out, and there are many, listen, thank God there are many people that got in the pig pen and did get out. But there's no guarantee the person that gets in the pig pen will get out. Are you listening? Some get out. Thank God. I can name some would shock you tonight that got out. that if you knew them, you'd be shocked. You said, no way, not that person. Because you look out now and boy, God's just, they smell like a rose. It's because they got around the rose. Amen. God cleaned them up. But there's some people never get out. I've got friends today, they're in the grave that never got out. Listen, church, I've got friends that are in the grave today that never got out. There is no guarantee when you go to the pig pen, you get out. Step number five is sensuality. Step number six, we're almost done, is setbacks. Nobody expects things to go wrong. I have talked to people and waved arms and swing flags and done everything like that, and nobody believes that it ever goes wrong. But seasons change, and things do go wrong. You say, now, preacher, are you trying to depress somebody now? No, listen, if you're out of the pig pen, praise God, he's in the cleanup business. Amen. You can't go back. There's things in my life I wish I could go back. I'm not talking about that thing. I'm talking about somebody that might be headed towards the pig pen tonight. You know, here's the scary thing about it. Those that have messed up and got right, they know it, and they walk towards the Lord. What the problem is, you got people that's got it right and pass them going the other direction, thinking everything's all right. Why, don't you see what I do in church? It doesn't matter. You're still going the wrong direction. Setbacks, verse 14. And when he had spent all, look at the timing. Not when he had spent some, when he had spent all. There arose a mighty famine in the land. Look at the trouble. And he began to be in want. Taxes, tax time come. Bills came. He ain't got no money. He's done spent it all. And begin to need, be in need. That word, the word want means it needs. I need something. I don't have anything. And now I need something. I don't have it. Why? Because he wasted it. Dropping, 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 dropping. A little bit of time. Constant, occasionally. That's where a lot of people get all messed up seeing back that again. They just, well, I just occasionally sin. The problem is it's like a drop in a bucket. It gathers. So setbacks come. Self-will, first step. Selfishness, second step. Seclusion, third step. Secrecy, fourth step. Sensuality, giving into the flesh, fifth step. Setbacks. Do you know he's not in the pig pen yet? He's not in the pig pen yet. But he's ahead in that way. Last one. Settling. Settling. Verse 15. And he went and journeyed himself to a citizen. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. The word joined there is the same word used when a husband and wife get married. They are to leave and cleave. He is literally settling for a relationship in the far country. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. It's almost like he's marrying that person. You know, things are hard, so I'm going to find somebody down there with me in the pig pen because that works out good. I'm going to find somebody that may be a little better off than I am, but they're still in the far country. Guess what? It don't work out. You don't get out of the pig pen by marrying somebody that has a pig pen. Here he is. He's entering the pig pen now. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, cleaving. And he sent him into the fields to feed his swine. He's feeding. He said, well, at least he's got a job. You know, the problem is that because the way he's talking, he's a Jew. And because he's a Jew, they're not going to have anything to do with the swine. And now he is a waiter to a swine. So all I'm doing is slopping the hogs. That's right. They pull up to the dinner trough and you feed them. He is literally waitstaff, servant to the swine. And that's what the devil will make you. He'll make you wait staff on the swine. Cleaving, feeding, and now he's going to think. But it's not the part, the second part that we want to get to. Look at verse number 16. And I'm stopping. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The word fain means he was considering it. Nobody's helping him. He ain't got nothing. All he's doing is being a servant to the swine, and he pours that stuff out, those husks out, and he gets thinking about it. His stomach starts growling, knotting up, and he gets thinking about it, and he says, you know what? I got to eat something. The word fain means he's considering it. I'm thinking about eating some husk. I'm thinking about getting me a good old mouthful of slop. I promise you, it ain't going to taste like what you think it's going to taste like. It's made for pigs. Why are you preaching this tonight, preacher? I'm preaching this because here's the thing. There may be somebody right here tonight. You say, preacher, we just had Jubilee. That does not matter. This man was raised in the perfect condition. He sat in the perfect place. He was raised by the perfect Father. In fact, this Father is representative typically of God Himself. Typically, he's a type of. But you know what he did? He started heading down the path of the pig pen. And he did it by self-will and selfishness and seclusion. I don't say this to parents. I have a daughter. She's almost 17. She's 16, almost 17. And I know how teenagers are. They want to have their space. And I do respect that. I've never been in her room when she's dressing. That's the honest truth. I've never done any of those things. I've never done it. And I give her space to get dressed and things like that. But I tell you what, you better be careful about that seclusion. Hey, husbands, you better watch that wife who just needs some time to herself with her friends. Wives, you better watch that husband just wants to hang out with the boys. Are you listening to me? You better watch out because they're getting secluded. And whenever you get secluded, the next step is secrecy. All of a sudden, they're not here. They're there. And the next step is what? Sensuality. I'm not being vulgar tonight. I'm just telling you, that's the path to the pig pen. And anybody, listen to me, anybody can head down that path. Here's the good news. If you're here tonight and you feel like you're walking down that path, there's a word called repentance. And the word repentance means to turn about. Amen. And go back where you should go. You can turn around tonight and head back. This is a very serious message I'm preaching tonight. I've probably not preached too many messages any more serious and any clearer than this is tonight. And I'm telling you, there's probably many of us here tonight say, preacher, I've been down that road. I've been down that road. I've done things I'm ashamed of. They're forgiven. I'm not going to dwell about them. I won't sit there and talk about them. They're forgiven. But you can keep walking. You just keep walking. And you look around thinking it's everybody else. And you say, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You do like that publican did. Or that Pharisee did. Old Pharisee says, I'm glad I'm not like his. But the person got help, that one spikes on his chest, says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And there ain't a person under the sound of my voice tonight does not have the ability to head down that pig pen. But here's the great thing. There's not a person under the sound of my voice does not have the ability to turn around and come back. Let's all stand. I want the pianist to come play something softly tonight. Self-will, selfishness, seclusion, secrecy, sensuality, setbacks, and settling in. 7 steps to the pig pen. Really ain't that far, is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know where you can take your 7 steps out? You can take them out here tonight. You can step right on out the door and head toward the pig pen. And get up tomorrow morning and take 7 steps towards the pig pen. Come home tomorrow night and take 7 steps toward the pig pen. It's not far at all. It's never far. And we know these things. The Bible says we are not ignorant of His devices. When the preacher talked about it, we are not ignorant of His devices. But just because we don't know, just because we know better does not mean that we will not go that way. I've seen people sit on the front row and all of a sudden start getting secluded. I've seen people sit in a church and all of a sudden start getting selfish. Everything's about me. Everything's about what I want. Everything's about what I feel. Everything's about what I want to do. And I'm going to take my journey and go find myself. It's not ourselves we need to find. It's Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there's one tonight, say, raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me tonight. I'm lost and don't know Jesus as my personal Savior, but I'd like to. Is there one? Raise your hand tonight. Is there one? Is there one in the whole house? Preacher, I'm lost. I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior, but I want to. All right. I wonder if there's one tonight, say, preacher, I'll just be honest with you. I'm tempted many times to head down the wrong path. Sometimes I get tired and I'm weary. Now listen to what I'm saying to you. And sometimes my self-will kicks in and my selfishness and the seclusion and the secrecy and all these things. And I think it's going to, and I'm telling you, the devil tempts me to do that. Is there anybody here tonight ever gets tempted? Thank you. One honest person. No, another honest person. I'm tempted. I'm tempted. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's where we want to get to tonight. Tempted, tempted. All of us are tempted with self-will and selfishness and secrecy and seclusion, and the devil knows that. Now, you know what that makes you? Human. That's why we need grace and help. That's why we need instruction. That's why we need somebody guiding us. That's why we need somebody guiding us. We need God to guide us. Because there ain't a person here that isn't tempted, if we'd be honest. You might not be tempted but one thing, but you know, it might be the lust of the flesh. It might be the lust of the eyes, or it might be the pride of life. You know, some people live their life right and get to the end and blow it. Live their whole life. I've seen people live their whole life, get to the end of their life, and blow it by getting pride of what they have done and think they're excused. They get a pass. It's like they build up so many tickets, and now I can do what I want to do. Let me be very clear. You don't build up tickets. You got to live daily. You have to crucify the flesh daily. 7 steps. 7 steps. Anybody need to come tonight? Just altar's open. I've talked enough. If you just need to come tonight, maybe just pray. Hey, you say, preacher, if somebody come down here, does that mean they're guilty? No, maybe somebody just wants to pray and say, God, put a hedge about me and keep me from going. It's okay to come pray that. It's okay to come pray that. If you need to come do that tonight, come pray that. If you need somebody else to pray with you, we'll do it. All I want to do is wave the flag and say, hey, don't go that way. That's all I'm doing. I promise you, I am not standing up here being arrogant, saying, oh, that doesn't pray. It's a problem for all of us because we're wrapped in flesh. Say amen right there. We're wrapped in flesh. And there ain't one of us can't get caught up in all these things. Church, I love you tonight. I appreciate you with all my heart. But here's what I know for sure. You don't have Jubilee and get help. Amen. You don't have revival and get revived. You don't shout. You don't raise your hand. You don't start praise God. You don't get peace without the devil starting to try to lay a plan out for what he's going to do next week. And I hope with all my heart, listen, church, and I'm done. I hope with all my heart, all I did tonight was preach preventative preaching. I hope that's all I did. I hope everybody says, no problem. I got that right. I'm staying on my knees. I'm going to stay on my knees. I'm going to stay on my knees. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to help me. And I'm going to watch out for my brother. I'm not going to go off in a far country. I'm going to stay close. I'm not going to get secluded. I hope within the sound of my voice, everybody here, that all I did was preach preventative medicine. Amen. I hope that. But I'll be honest with you tonight. I wonder if the case is not true that somebody here sat through a jubilee all week long. And then it's considering going to the far country right after. And if you are, I believe without any shadow of a doubt tonight that God is sending you a warning, clear and plain, where you can understand it. Where you can understand it. Because you cannot handle it. Ain't nobody else handling it. And you can't handle it. And you're going to get in trouble. And it's going to cost you.